Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Extra long, I can't help it. I don't know why. But what's going on, Lash? How's it going, man?
What's going on, man? Can't believe we're less than a month away from the postseason, man. Yeah. Both of our teams are struggling to get to the end, but we'll get there.
Man, I hope so. I mean, I don't know. I'm a Mets fan, bro. You know how it is. Like, I feel like we're just not going to make it, man. We're going to be short, like a half a game or something stupid like that, you know? That's how I feel. I feel like, you know, disappointment hasn't happened. And, you know, we went through a roller coaster or whatever, and we're just going to end up, you know, getting the bed dirty. That's what I got to say. That's to say it in a nice way, you know? You know exactly what I mean by that, getting the bed dirty.
Yeah, no, definitely. You'll definitely make things interesting for you can, in the same time, while trying to make the playoffs, you can also try to play spoiler. And that's a good game to play if you're the Mets. Like I said, their goal was to be contenders next year.
That's an insult, bro. So you just said.
You could do both.
You hear what you said? Nobody wants to play spoiler. Come on, man. What's wrong with you? First of all, let's just backtrack a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I love the intro. That was great. You know, you just called us the spoilers. All right. You know what I'm saying? So the New York spoilers, from now on, for the rest of the season, we're going to call my team the New York spoilers. All right? Forget about Metropolitans. Forget about the Mets and all that hot, you know, amazing things that happen in Queens as of lately. But for the rest of this season, my team is called the New York Spoilers, all right? Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to make the playoffs, right? They're going to eat right through that. And they're going to end up playing the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series, and the New York Spoilers are going to take the ring away from you guys.
Today's match of the 76.
Listen, that's right.
Was it 76 or 60s?
I can't remember. I wasn't born. I'm old and I wasn't born. All right.
So well, either way, I don't have confidence in Baltimore. They have so many holes. But hey, once you're in the playoffs, the whole new season. So you're right. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But the way we're playing right now, it's pretty scary. But let's just talk about this. This is episode 24. All right. We had technical difficulties. You know, and this one is coming out super late. You know, we were supposed to be on 25. You know, it didn't happen all season, but it happened last week. But we're back, and hope you guys missed us. The two guys out there in, like, Albuquerque that listen to us.
Or Guam.
You know what I'm saying? Wherever it is. You know what I'm saying? That guy that's lonely and been away from his family forever, and for some reason he finds our podcast, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not going to say amazing, but he finds it
good enough entertainment for him.
Exactly. Amusing. That's the word right there. That equals what you said equals amusing and I'll take them using right now, you know. But whatever, first season, you know, episode 24, and today's episode's name is Let's Go for 50. And if anybody out there is listening, I'm pretty sure you like baseball, and you know that, you know, Let's Go for 50 means that Shohei Ohtani has become the fastest player to make the 40-40 club. And you have to understand, the 40-40 club is something like fantastic to be part of that crew, you know, because of all the players in the history of baseball, you know what I'm saying? There's only six of these guys, all right? And that just, that's an amazing feat, all right? You have to understand that. And I'm pretty sure you agree, Lars.
Yes, it's very hard to do, to be able to hit, do 50-50. That's pretty impressive, but takes extraordinary players like the Judges of the world, the Ohtanis, the Mike Trouts. Those are the type of guys that could do it. You know, Lindor's right behind that too, you know, but it's because he had a slow start to April, kind of hurt him a little bit. But either way, those are just some of the type of players that are capable of going 50-50. So it's exciting to watch.
This is a serious subject. You have to understand that. You mentioned a lot of great players, and guess what, man? None of those players are in the 40-40 club. All right? This is why this topic is so interesting, all right? Because imagine, like, you know, like, I would love to look that up. We'll bring it up next week, you know, and we're going to talk about, like, the number that I'm about to bring up, all right? So I want to know from the beginning all the way up to now, how many players have gone through the MLB? I want the exact number. I'm going to try to find it for you guys, and it's going to be interesting because what we're talking about today is an amazing feat for any player out there on the field, all right? You have to understand that only six players in the history of Major League Baseball have actually pulled this off, all right? So we're talking about elite players, all right? So Ohtani this year decides that, you know, I mean, he didn't decide. He's hurt, right? So he couldn't pitch. So he was like, all right, now I have to find a different way to contribute to this club. And now he broke a record, right? This is a guy that can't pitch right now. This is crazy. He broke a record, right? He was the fastest player to make the 40-40 club. There were only five prior to that. Let me make sure I know what I'm talking about. Exactly. There's only six guys on this list, bro. And Lasha, you mentioned a lot of great players, and it's funny because you're a Atlanta Braves fan, and you didn't mention this guy. But anyway, let me explain to you how Shohei did it. Are you listening to what I'm saying, Lasha? Are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening. So explain to more how Shohei has been able to do it. Recovering from ACL surgery or Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, so now this guy's a DH, right? So he's like, all right, so how am I going to contribute to this club? So this guy goes out there and he becomes the fastest player to ever get the 40-40 in a season, all right? That's the first thing. The first thing is that, right? The second thing, you have to understand that being part of the 40-40 club is pretty amazing because you have to steal at least 40, you have to steal 40 bases, right? And you have to hit 40 home runs. All right. So that's a pretty, you know, strong ask from 162 games. You know, sometimes you go for offers, you know, sometimes you don't hit anything in a game. You know, you have a bad day and you don't hit anything. Or sometimes you get, you know, a double, a triple, a base hit, but you don't get a home run. And maybe you tried to steal and just didn't work out. Remember, we just finished talking about like Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson hit, stole like 130 something bases in his early 20s when he played with Oakland in one season. So think about it. This is 162 games, right? And this guy has to at least attempt a steal every single time he gets on base to even fulfill that, you know? Because he's going to get caught, all right? He's not a, you know, he's not a machine. He was fast, but Jesus Christ, how many times did he get, you know, caught out there? I don't know. Think about stuff like that. Like, this is a, you know, like, we're talking about elite. This is why this game looks so pretty, because they make it look pretty, right? Slash, what's up, baby?
You there?
Yeah, of course I'm here.
You broke off. You broke off a little bit.
I broke off a little bit.
But it's okay. So you're talking about Shohei Ohtani, how he's able to do that. Yeah, I guess what makes it easier for him is that he only has to focus on one thing. His one thing is his four at-bats in the game. He doesn't have to worry about what kind of pitches to throw, how many pitches is he going to throw, you know, how many pitches does he, you know, like I said, how many pitches he want to throw, what type of pitches he's going to throw, who his catcher is, how is he going to, you know, there's a lot of critical thinking going on, you know, when it comes to pitching, because you got to figure out what kind of pitch can I throw to this guy? Oh, I can't throw these set of pitches to this guy. I have to throw a different one. I got to change it up all the time so that the lineup doesn't figure out. In a game where a pitcher only sees the lineup maybe three times at best, a guy like Shohei will see the lineup as a pitcher at least four times, maybe five times. But now that he's just DHing, it makes it easier. For him, it's like batting practice. Hey, I just got to sit here and swing, and no problem. I can do that. When I get on base, I can steal. Okay, cool. Because, you know, I think a lot of people underestimate him. Pitchers do.
They do.
Because he doesn't look like
a guy that runs.
He doesn't look like a Ronald Cunha guy. He doesn't, you know.
No, he doesn't look like a threat.
No, or Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, it really bothers me because I don't understand how this guy is so big, right? And he's able to do that. Like, that's crazy. Like, I haven't watched a lot of Dodger games, you know, but now I'm really interested. Like, I have to physically see with my own eyes, you know. It's crazy, and it's crazy because we played against them in a four-game series. I remember I went to a couple of those games with my dad. Matter of fact, we went to a doubleheader, right? Because I think rain happened or something, and they doubled up the last.
Yeah, I remember
game
that day.
Series, something like that, and they ended up beating us in both games, you know. And it was funny because we kind of like had one game, and then like it slipped from us, and you know, typical Mets BS, you know. But whatever. We got swept by them, but I, you know, like I was so caught up in the game, and like I don't think Ohtani really did too much in that series. I can't remember. I think we kind of shut him down, but he still beat us, bro. It was bad, bro. This is like after that. That's when like things changed right after that series, because I remember going and I was like, you know what? I'm done with these guys. I don't want to even come to the stadium anymore. You know, obviously I worked there, you know, on the medical side or whatever, but that's to pay the bills. But like as a fan, no, man. After that series, I was like, I'm done with these guys. Why am I paying for tickets when I already know what the outcome is going to be, you know? But no. I didn't really watch them. But let me explain something to you. Wow, yo, I'm just, you know, the Chicago White Sox just took the last game out of the series from you guys? From Baltimore. The Baltimore
Orioles. Yep.
That just happened. I know, I just saw it come over. And
8-1.
8-1. That's pretty crazy. I mean, listen, like my, you know, I, a lot of the older folks I talk to when, you know, they play this, you know, they watch this game or whatever, and they played it, you know, in the past or whatever, and they say to me all the time, yeah, they suck, but don't forget that they're still a professional team, you know? They're still a professional baseball team.
Yeah, no, like I said, they got professional players. You know, these guys, some of these guys on the White Sox, they might be paying for future teams or contracts. So if you think they're just gonna lay down low, but you know, it's hard to sweep series, you know. But at the end of the day, the goal is to win series and stay in contention with the Yankees. I don't know what the score is now, but it was 2-0 last time. So if the Yankees lose, Orioles will still remain a game ahead. But the next series they play Tampa Bay, and that's a really important series. You're not gonna get a sweep against Tampa Bay. You'll get 2 out of 3 if you can. I'll take it. Because even though the teams in the division are behind you, you still got to beat them. Or else you'll be like the Atlanta Braves where because they lost some games, now the Mets only half a game out. And so now the Atlanta's in a situation where they literally have to win every single game to stay in that wild card spot.
You sound like a real Yankee fan right now. I don't like the way you sound right now. Like, you heard what you just said?
No.
I heard what you just said.
Saying how it is.
No, you said. Atlanta, you lost a lot of games. A lot of Mets are, you know, half a game out. That's what you said to me just now. And now we're going to talk baseball. So, yeah.
Yes.
The Mets just, you know, not just happened to, you know, we did a lot of amazing things. You have to understand, things happened, and I was, you know, I wasn't optimistic. I was like, this is the part of the season where things fall apart, you know. But before we go into that, I just want to say that not only Ohtani, right? Ohtani, once again, I have to bring this up. I have to say this because this is crazy. So he got the 40th home run, right? And he got his 40th stolen base all in the same game, right? And not only did he do that, right, he ended up hitting a grand slam to win the game, all right? Like a walk-off grand slam, all right? That's what happened, okay? To get his 40th, right? And right now, with 23 games left on their schedule, right, he has 46 stolen bases, all right? So not only did he join the club, he went above and beyond, and he hit another 4 homers behind that, right? So he has 46 stolen bases and 44 home runs, all right? And if he happens to get 50, he'll be the first player to ever. All right? That's the crazy part. Now, like I said, you mentioned a lot of great players. But you didn't mention one of the 6, besides Ohtani, obviously.
Who have made the 40-40 club. Henderson?
Nah, B.
And I'm saying Henderson. I mean Ricky Henderson.
Oh, I know who
you mentioned Acuna.
Oh, yes, you did. Okay, so, yeah, Acuna did it last year, right? He got 41 home runs, and he stole 73 bases, which is insane, okay? So, not only is he part of this club, he's the best one in the club right now, in my eyes. Even at Ohtani's pace and what he's doing right now at the moment, I still say that Ronald Acuna Jr. is like the number one out of those 6 in that list, you know, on that list, excuse me, because of the 73 stolen bases, because he stole almost 30 more bases than every single one of these guys on this list. So that's pretty crazy, you know?
That is pretty impressive.
Right? I think so, too. But I'm going to let you think about it. Give me another guess. You know what I'm saying?
Another 40-40?
Exactly. Another 40-40. So like, I'll give you some hints.
This I got guy, one guy in mind.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Talk to me.
Jose Altuve.
Negative.
Carlos Beltran. Carlos Correa.
Nope. Wrong again.
Give me a hint.
Right. All right. I'll give you a nice little hint, right? Big guy, right? I'm pretty sure he was into a lot of spaghetti and meatballs and pasta, right? He played for a team that used to wear green, yellow, and white, right? They played on the West Coast, right? And we're talking about like 1988, right? And this is one of the guys that I'm pretty sure was on steroids, but they weren't checking for that kind of stuff. And he was pretty amazing.
And only green team on the West Coast, green, yellow, and white, would be Oakland.
Okay.
But you said it's not Ricky Henderson.
It's not Ricky Henderson, bro.
Not Mark McGuire, when he was
before a little before that.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was great. I'm not gonna lie. And you know what? I think he played for the Yankees.
Is this someone I should know?
Point. Yes, he played for the Yankees at one point too, I believe.
Giambi?
No, not Giambi.
Jeez, played for the Yankees, played for the Athletics, and then he was a player in the 90s.
He was a player in 80, you know, late 80s, 90s, you know, something like that. I'm going to look him up now.
I'm not going to know.
Nah, you're going to know, because when I say his name, you're going to be like, oh, yes, that guy. You know this guy. But
go,
anyway.
Go crisp. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't know. I'm going to let you give me the answer. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you the answer. The answer is Jose Canseco.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, see,
you're right.
Actually, oh wow, surprisingly, you're right. He was Cuban American, all right. So yeah, and it's crazy. This guy was definitely, you know, doing steroids. I'm pretty sure he was. Nobody was checking for that. But anyway, that's not the point. The point was, you know, I was a kid back then, and I remember him, and he was great. He was, you know, I wasn't thinking about that kind of stuff. I was just like, wow, this guy's big, and he hits the ball hard, and he can run pretty fast. It's pretty crazy. But yeah. All right? So that's one of them. All right. So I'll give you another hint, right, for the, one of the other guys. This guy was definitely on steroids. Right, also played on the West Coast, and he used to hit the home runs into the bay.
Oh, Barry Bonds?
Exactly. Barry Bonds was a big dude, too, and he's part of the 40-40 club. But let me tell you, so Jose Canseco right here hit 42 home runs and stole 40 bases that year in 1988, and that's how he became, you know, part of this club. And Bonds, 96, hit 42 home runs and stole 40 bases for the Giants, of course. Like I said, he hit home runs into the bay. And he was definitely on steroids. All right. And it's funny because now I'm looking at this list, and this is kind of funny, you know, because we know Jose was definitely on steroids. I'm sorry, Jose, but come on, man. Let's be serious now. Barry was definitely on it. And this guy, oh, my God. So this guy played for, you know, a really good team when he was younger. Real slim and then bulked up really fast. And then he ended up with the Yankees. And then they ended up giving him his walking papers and his money. And he's part of this club. And he did it at a, you know, I'm going to say a pretty early stage in his career.
Ooh, yeah, another Yankee.
Yes. And in his early career, he played for another team out on the West Coast, right?
Oh, I know I'm thinking of Tino Martinez.
No. Ugh. It's okay.
Not Giambi. Played for the Yankees, West Coast team. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez?
Alex Rodriguez. There you go.
Yeah. I had to put CIA. Right. I kept. Seattle was in my mind.
Yeah, so Alex Rodriguez, right? He did it in 98, 42 home runs, and 46 stolen bases. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, excellent.
Right? And then so we already know about Acuna. We know what Otani did. We know about Alex Rodriguez. We know about Barry Bonds and Jose Canseco. So now we have one left, right? And this one you're not going to guess, all right? So... Alfonso Soriano.
Right? I remember Alfonso. He was great with the Yankees.
Yeah. So in 2006 with the Nationals.
Yeah, that was his post-Yankees career.
Yeah. 46 home runs, 41 stolen bases. And we're going to take a pause there because right now the Mets just finished sweeping the Chicago White Sox, something your team couldn't do. You know, they couldn't sweep the White Sox. We did it. I'm not saying we're better than you.
No,
guys.
We're playing the White Sox now.
I know, but I'm saying prior to the series that we're in now, which is the Boston Red Sox at home at Citi Field, the Mets swept the Chicago White Sox, right? Not only that, we took the last one in Arizona, but we're going to talk about that in a few. But so we won that game, right? Not only that, we won that game. So we went into the series with Chicago, we swept them, and then we went home. And now we're playing the Bo Sox, right? And the great thing about this is that we're about to sweep them too. It's the bottom of the eighth, bases loaded. Tyrone Taylor just walked in a run, okay? So it's 5-3 Mets, bottom of the eighth, okay? We're about to sweep these guys too, okay? So that's 7 in a row, all right? I was there last night for the Peterson Jewel, Gem, whatever you want to call it. He struck out 11 guys last night, okay? This guy has become one of our aces all of a sudden. Like, kind of like when the Grom ramped up, you know, he started off, you know, here and there. He was cool. He was all right. And then he just turned into, like, this elite monster. That's what Peterson is doing right now. Right now, I think he's 9-1, and he's lights out. He's throwing hard, and he's just king everybody. You have to understand that Boston isn't, you know, that's not an easy team, though. You know, mess with. They're trying to get into the wild card, too. They're like 4.5 games out right now, but the Mets really hurt them. The Mets really hurt them because they were looking in. You know, they were looking in like saying, damn, man, we might make this. We might make this. If we play hard, we might make. But the Mets just broke their souls right now. And it's pretty crazy. The Mets have been on fire lately. That's a double.
And that's
sweep.
What I mean by spoilers, ruining other people's chances.
Oh, no. Okay, I see what you're saying, but I don't like that word because when you say that word, it reminds me of the teams that have nowhere to go and they're 40 games back and they're talking about, yeah, you know, we suck, but these guys are in the hunt and we can hurt them. So let's play hard and hurt them so we can laugh tonight. And that's what I call a spoiler. That's my definition of a spoiler. So when you say spoiler, I take offense to it. But understand, you know, you have two great
teams. That is the right definition. So I see why you would take offense, which you're correct. It is. That's what a spoiler is, a non-contender knocking out a contender.
Exactly. Exactly. This is, you know, so that's why I take offense to it. I still love you, but I take offense to that. I think this team is better than that. And the funny thing about this team is that next year, it's going to be a completely different team.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about that the other day.
It's going to be so weird because you have to understand, like, you know, we're not even supposed to be talking about this stuff, but it's crazy. You know, we're just flying off the cuff and we're just talking about our teams. And, you know, like, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about what's going on in the American League East because I can't wait to hear it. But this team is crazy because, you know, Tyrone Taylor's not going to be there next year unless we snatch him up. You know, Harrison Bader's not going to be there. Severino's going to be gone. Alonso's going to be gone. You know,
What's his name? The other pitcher?
Iglesias is going to be gone.
Iglesias, the pitcher that you got, the Manaya.
Quintana and Severino, both of those.
Yeah. Isn't Manaya going to be gone too?
I think he has one more year left. I'm not 100% sure about that, but we'll get back to you guys on that. But yeah, I'm not. But we, you know, we have a lot of guys that are going to be. Marte is going to be gone. You know, it's going to be a completely different team. You have to understand. You know, like, it's going to be crazy. Oh, Winker is going to be gone. A guy that came, you know, a month ago and is making a difference. He just hit a grand slam today, you know? It's funny because Alonso was up prior to that with no wild bases loaded in the first inning of this game. All right? And you have to understand, I'm like, we're not going to score. This is how I am, you know? And Alonso comes up with bases loaded and no wilds. And what does he do? He strikes out. And here comes Jesse Winker, somebody that we just picked up from the Nationals, you know, because they bring up their puppy. What's his name? The slim black here with the dreads.
I forgot what his name is.
I think it is Abrams.
No, he's the shortstop.
Okay, so not that guy, the other guy. We'll get back to
something
you.
Wood. Something Wood.
Oh, yeah,
James
exactly.
Wood.
Thank you. It's James Woods. There you go, brother. See, there you go. Good fucking head. Excuse my language. Good head there. But, yeah, Woods. So since they got Woods, they don't need Winker anymore, you know? So Winker, you know, fit right in. Like I said, he hit a grand slam today. You know, right after Alonso strikes out, here comes Winker. Boom. Let's get that ball out of here. 4-0 Mets in the first inning. Now it's 6-3 in the bottom of the eighth. Base is still loaded with one out. Oh, my God. This is where we really shut them down now. It's a double sweep, guys. Double sweep, 7 in a row. All right? And we'll talk about that other stuff later. But, yeah, it's like the Mets have like 23 games left, man. And we're going to discuss that in a few. But I want to talk about what's going on in the AL East. Talk to me, brother.
Well, the Yankees and the Orioles are toe-to-toe for the division lead. The winner of the division is going to get the first round bye. The loser is going to get the first wild card spot. The problem with Baltimore and the problem with both the Yankees and the Orioles have similar problems. They have no closer, or at least a reliable closer. Holmes yesterday came in and gave up a grand slam walk-off home run, which cost the Yankees game. They're currently losing 5-2. And then Baltimore doesn't have a closer because Kimbrough continues to, you know, give up runs in the least in the worst opportune times. So they've been rotating him out. So they don't have him as a closer anymore. They have him like in the seventh spot, sixth spot. And then Sir Anthony Dominguez, who they got from the Phillies, he's been a little better than Kimbrough, but he gave up back-to-back games against the Mets last week. So he's not reliable. He's not consistent. He's not a lights-out closer. So, the reason why I don't know if Baltimore's going to make it, they just don't have the starting staff. All the pitchers are getting hurt. Rodriguez should be coming back soon. All the other guys are going to come back next year, so I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to get some of the offensive guys back. They're going to get Westbrook back soon, which is good. Mateo's out for the year. As far as the Yankees go, man, you know, it's a disappointing thing about the Yankees. They only have two. If it wasn't for Aaron Judge and Soto, the Yankees would be so far under 500. That's how reliable those guys have been. So the question someone asked one time, I was thinking, what's better to have a lights out starting pitcher like a Gerrit Cole, or have a lights out starter, lights out hitter on the offensive side? And I think having a bat is more important than pitching, because you know a pitcher's only going to go out there every 5 days. You're not going to have five Gerrit Coles or five DeGroms in his primes. Whereas Soto, every time he comes up, he's always producing. You know what I mean? Where with a starting pitcher, he could have six great starts, and a seventh start, he messes it up and poops the bed. Yeah, and then guess what?
But so will Soto. Lose the game. Soto will have an 0-for-4, you know, multiple times during the season, you know? It depends on the type of pitching that, you know, he's facing, too, you know? That's why I say pitching is so much more important to me than hitting, you know? All right, so, yeah, you can build a pretty decent lineup that, you know, connects, you know, and, you know, chemistry is an amazing thing on a baseball team, especially a starting rotation, right? Because they feed off each other, you know? It's amazing how much more a guy from that starting rotation will give you when they just finish seeing the first two guys in the rotation go lights out. It brings a certain energy to the club. It just changes everything. I'm a firm believer in that. I feel like, you know, you look good, feel good, play good, you know? It's one of those things, you know? Like, I'm a firm believer in that. And I feel like, you know, the energy you get from the guy prior to you, it just brings a different type of, and then, you know, playing for something, you know, that's another level of, like, you know, let me show you who I really am. That's what I feel, you know? I feel like in this sport, you know, these guys play hurt a lot of the time and for the majority of the year. Because, listen, bro, I work a job that's super physical and I don't know what I'm going to get, you know, hour to hour, all right? So I could come in tired and pray for a good day, which means everybody can walk and I don't have to carry anybody that's overweight or carry them long flights of steps, you know, because there's no elevator or it's broken or whatever. But anyway, what I'm saying is that when, you know, these guys are playing 162 games, they're playing hurt. A lot of these injuries don't even come to, you know, nobody knows about these injuries. And what I'm saying is that I go out there and I have to earn my money that way, right? And I come home hurt, and then the next day I have to go back out there and do it again. And it's the same way with this, you know? It's like these guys are hurt. They're not playing to their fullest, you know? Unless they get that adrenaline, they're playing for something that's important to them. They're not going to be playing to their, you know, to the best of their capabilities. Don't you agree on that?
Oh, no. As you get older, I mean, as the season continues, your body wears down. We're human beings. It's just natural instinct. You're not going to be the same way you were on day one compared to day, you know, 152. It's just the way it is. The body wears down. It's a lot of wear and tear on these guys. you know, we as fans, we sometimes forget that they're human beings, so we get upset when, you know, Alonso goes 0 for his 20 in a four-game span and realize, well, you know, or Lindor and all these guys, but you got to realize they're human beings. You know, you know, imagine just walk around every day for 6 months, put a bat in your hand, and just swing for the heck of it. That's what these guys do for 6 months straight. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't feel sorry for them.
For more, Lasha, think about it. So if you do, well, how long is spring training? Spring training is like, okay, let's even go further back. Or let's say, let's happen to tell you that it's like a World Baseball Classic year, right? So you want to play in that, right? And a lot of these guys, to stay competitive, they all play in different leagues all over the world as well, all right, during the offseason. So you have that, and then you have spring training.
Yep, the Dominican Winter Leagues.
Exactly, and then you have the season, all right? So you went from playing summer league or whatever league you're playing in, right, in whatever country, right, and then the World Baseball Classic shows up, and you want to go out there and perform for your country, right? And then right after that, you go into spring training, and then after that, you go straight into the season, all right? And then, oh, your team is great. Oh, we're making the postseason. How many more games are you playing? You know what I'm saying? Imagine what the body feels like. Imagine what's going through the, you know, it's pretty crazy. You have to perform on a daily basis, right? It's almost like pretty crazy. It hurts. These guys are playing hurt right now. This is the end of the season. They're trying to play for something good, so they have a lot of adrenaline going through their systems. They want to play well. They want to do the right thing. You know, they make it look simple, but it's not. It's really hard, especially this sport. I think this is one of the hardest sports ever, but this is me. End of the eighth, Mets 8-3. Let's go, Mets. Double sweep while on this podcast. I love it. So, yeah, so it's funny how, you know, you were talking about how, you know, the injuries to your ball club, you know, are causing problems. But guess what? You're still in first place, bro. And you've been doing that all year, fighting with the Yankees. And you guys are way better than the Yankees. All right, so I know you read the article on Gerrit Cole. He's hurt, right? This is what I read yesterday. I'm not sure what the outcome of that, you know, is, but maybe you know.
No, I don't know. I haven't looked, but I did see that he got hurt, which is big because he's their ace. And since he's came back, he's been struggling, but the last couple of starts, he's had really good outings. So he's just starting to get warm, which is dangerous for a team that's going into the playoffs, because now you got a guy who's getting back to form. That's going to make it more challenging for the opponents that they're going to face in the divisional round or in the wild card round. So it'll be interesting.
That's how I feel. I mean, listen, the Yankees make the postseason and they go in there without Cole, they're done. Yankees go into the postseason with Cole, they're done. It doesn't matter. I don't think they can, you know, survive the postseason with what they have right now. All right? And then if these teams get savvy and they say, you know what, I'm not in the mood for Judge, you walk him. Now, who is it up to? The guys behind him. And what are they going to do? You already know what they're going to do. I'm not even going to say it. They're not gonna make it happen.
Well, the guys behind Judge, they're not producing, so
exactly.
They're gonna just strike out or ground balls or who knows what.
Or DP it. Double play, baby.
Yeah.
This is what you do with big guys like that in big situations. You don't have to pitch to him. You don't have to. You really don't. All right? So now what happens? They can't produce. I've seen it happen. We've talked about this. You don't have to pitch to that guy. You don't have to pitch to Soto either. You know? Listen. Let the guys behind him show you what they can do. They can't. That's what it is. But Baltimore is definitely going to be in the postseason. I think they're going to take the division. I wouldn't worry too much about the Yankees. You know? They're going to have to play. This is what's going to happen to the Yankees, right? So the Yankees make the first seed, right, in that wild card situation, right? So the number one out of the three, they're the number one, right? So they get a bye, right, because they have to wait for the winner of the two and three And then the Yankees have to play that team. That team is going to come into that series against the Yankees with momentum. The Yankees are going to be sitting, right? And then, of course, they're going to give the ball to Cole. And Cole, I don't know. Cole, listen, not this year against the Mets. Cole was robbed of his soul by the Mets. Excuse me. But you know about Cole. You've seen Cole in a lot of series. Because you're a Baltimore fan.
No, Cole's been amazing against Baltimore. Every time he starts, I just tally it as a loss for the Orioles because he's just so good. I watched him pitch against the Orioles when he first came back, and he just, like, lights out, killed us. So I was like, oh, go figure. He's a true ace. He's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. He's been amazing. So that money that they gave him is well worth it for now. But he's everything that they asked for, and then some. So, and for the yeah, he's starting to get injury. I don't know if it's getting old or just the wear and tear what's causing his injuries. But I think it's for the Yankees, getting him back when he did was good because you got him back a little bit right after the All-Star game. You can give him time to warm up because you know that as the Yankees, you're going to make the playoffs. Doesn't matter whether you make a wild card or division. So what that means is you can give him time to get himself together, figure it out. And then by the time the postseason comes around, he's ready to go, and you got what you've been looking for, which is a dominant Gerrit Cole, which you've had since you've had him. So if that's what the Yankees want, after him, Luis Gil kind of has fallen off the wayside. Nestor Cordes, you know, he's not as nasty as he once was last year.
Yeah,
so I don't know what happened with him, Clark Schmidt, and all these other guys that they have. I don't know the full rotation for the Yankees, but you know, I listen to a lot of the sports talk New York show based in New York, and you know, the guys talk about him. But that's their true ace. Without Gerrit Cole, see, what's the nice thing about the wild card is that you only have to win one out of two games out of three. You only have to win two out of three.
Two out of three. Yes.
So if you get Gerrit Cole out there on game one, that's a pretty – you have a 90% chance of winning that game. So now you only have to win one of the two left. So you have a really good chance. You know what I mean? So if you're facing someone like Minnesota, who I don't even know who their starters are, or even Baltimore, who's, you know, minus Corbin Burns, all their guys are all over the place, you know, you – all it takes a moment, you know, because teams do feed off momentums. That's like one thing I noticed with the Texas Rangers last year is that, you know, they played Baltimore, and Baltimore was one of the better teams. And when they took four out of seven from the Orioles in the playoffs, they gave them so much momentum because that's like, wow, we built a better team. And they believed in themselves, and it carried them all the way to a World Series victories. So it does work, and sometimes
it does.
Need is just a little spark, and then who knows. So anything is possible. I don't see it right now for my team, but you know, for me, I do see the Mets making a run in the postseason because they're just really funky team. They got nothing to worry about. They have no fear, no pressure on them, so they can play loosey-goosey and not worry about it, and those are the most dangerous teams to play. And if you're a team in the NL, like the Braves, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, who have gone on a nice streak since the All-Star break.
You were just talking about momentum. So
yeah,
it's perfect. Like San Diego and Arizona, all of a sudden, boom, became a force. And it's pretty crazy to me because I wasn't even looking at those teams, you know, a month ago. A month ago, I don't know, was it a month ago? The Mets were actually the number one seed in that wild card situation. And we were like seven games out of, you know, first place in the division. I'm like, wow, is this really going to happen? We're looking really good here. And then, you know, things started happening. And Atlanta started playing a little better. But San Diego and Arizona, man. And Atlanta was holding that top slot for a while, too, I believe. And all of a sudden, Atlanta's battling for, like, you know, this last slot with the Mets. It's pretty crazy. Of course, it's drama. And my favorite part about it is that they get to face each other prior to the season ending, right? So they don't end with them, but the series before last is the Atlanta series in Atlanta at Truist. And then after that, they go play Milwaukee. So the last six games of the season are going to be six tough games, you know? So, like, if we're, like, looking in by a half a game, two games, it doesn't matter because, you know, we have control. If we play hard and we win, then we deserve to be there, you know? Because I'm pretty sure Atlanta's not going to give up that last slot. They're not going to give it up. Not that easily. But it's going to be fun to watch. And I'm excited because I'm still watching baseball in September, you know? I mean, you know, my team isn't in it. I'm not watching it. But this year, it's going to be a little different. Your team is going to be in it, so I'll be watching with you. I know you probably have two teams in it. We'll see. But both teams have problems with pitching. Don't you think so? That's crazy to me, right? Both of your teams.
Yeah, no, you're right. Just look at the scoreboard. Atlanta just won. They won 5-2. And with the Mets winning, it looks like the Mets won, right? Is that final? Yes. 8-3. Yeah, half a game behind.
Yeah,
half a game because they have the same amount of wins as the Braves. It's just the Braves have one less loss. All right. So both the Mets and the Braves are lucky because they're playing easy teams. So it's going to be hard. What I would really love to see is that wild card spot come down to the Mets versus Braves in mid-September, basically like 2 weeks from now is when that series is. I would love to see that because whoever wins that series is going to be the last wild card spot or the first wild card spot.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
I'm looking at the wild card for the National League. San Diego, Arizona, Atlanta, and New York. So, yeah. So, if the Mets or the Braves take 2 out of 3 from each other, their season's over for the team that lost 2 out of 3.
Exactly. It's going to be crazy. Not only that, you have to understand that, you know, we play Philly in a 4-game series, right, to end the run at Citi Field this year. Right? Those are the last 4 games, I believe, against the Phillies, right? And then after that, we don't come back home unless we make the postseason. So it's going to be super interesting. So we have to play Atlanta in 7 games before the season ends, right? So 4-game series at Citi Field, and I believe a 3-game series at, what's the name of that park? But it's Citizens Bank. Something like that.
Citizens Bank Park, Philadelphia.
Yes. So we have to play over there for 3 games. So, if we play them well, we can totally destroy their hearts, you know?
And they're struggling, Philadelphia.
Yeah. If we come in with that spunk that we have right now, we can definitely make a run for that division. Because 7 games is a lot. And imagine if we take 5 out of 7 from those guys. They're going to be choking, you know? That's going to be crazy. That's going to help us in 2 different ways. So we have that series that I'm a little worried about, those 2 series, the Atlanta series, the Milwaukee series. You know, there's a couple of series there. It's like a true novella, you know what I'm saying? Because it's funny because it's like, you know, Stearns is like, this is the team that I put together and you guys are in first place and I just left. So let me show you what this little team has and we'll see what happens. And not only that, if you guys are good enough, we'll see you in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So it's a true novella. It's going to be Stearns versus the Brewers, right? And that's if we make the playoffs, you know, and we get through the wild card situation. Because that's going to be a hard, tough road, you know? Because the season ended today, right? Let's happen to say it ended today with the Mets in the last slot, right? San Diego being first and Arizona being second in that wild card situation. The Mets would have to play Arizona 2 out of 3. The winner of that would play San Diego 2 out of 3. And then after that, play the number one seed, which would probably be the Dodgers at this point, right? Imagine that. You have to play Arizona again because we just finished playing them. And the funny thing about Arizona is that we could have swept them, all right, which is the funny thing. But, you know, Diaz, he blew two saves. He blew one against San Diego, and that was a four-game series. So we would have won 3 out of 4 there. And then we would have swept Arizona going into the series with Chicago, going into the series with Boston. So that would have been 3 sweeps in a row. You understand what I'm trying to tell you right now? That's how hot the Mets are right now. Okay? You have to understand that, because if Diaz wouldn't have blown that game against Arizona, it would have been a sweep against them, a sweep against Chicago, and a sweep against the Boston Red Sox. Okay? This is how hot this team is right now. All right? So beware.
Listen. Yeah, I think if the Mets make the playoffs, even if they don't go far, I think Stern should get, what's that word, the general manager of the year? Because it's pretty impressive to do what he did.
Yeah.
With the team that was supposed to be rebuilding for next year.
Yeah, he just put pieces together and said, this is going to work, all right? Go out there, have fun. This is what he did, all right? Because it's funny how, you know, like, I'm going to miss a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys on this team have become household names. It's kind of crazy. You know, who knew who Tyrone Taylor was? Tyrone Taylor is a great player, man. You know, Harrison Bader, you know, with a B. Vientos. No, but Vientos is one of our homegrowns, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he's not going anywhere. Hopefully he's the, you know, our future third baseman for the next 6-7 years. I wouldn't mind that at all. I see the potential in the kid. The kid has something about him that I like. And he's the tough out. He's the tough out. I like him. I definitely like him. I was there last night. He had a blast. You know, I like this kid. This kid is the future of the club. And I hope he's there to stay. But, like, you know, Bader, you know, I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss a lot of guys in that clubhouse. You know, that got this one-year contract. Iglesias, oh, my God. Literally, oh, my God. What are we going to do about that, you know? This guy's a veteran that's played for multiple teams. He kind of became our new Luis Guillorme, you know, because he can kind of play a lot, you know, of that infield. And, you know, he just comes up, and if he starts, he's electric. And if he comes off the bench, he's electric. He's one of these guys that, you know, loves the game, and he produces, man. He produces, and he's great to watch. The singing, not so much, but, you know, as a baseball player, he's great. So I'm going to miss these guys. It's kind of crazy, you know. We're not going to have a lot of these guys next year. So unless, you know, we make decisions like that, I don't know. We'll see what he does. I trust in Stearns now, though. I definitely do. What do you think about Stearns, man?
No, he's done a great job. He's exceeded his their expectations of him. I think they truly were planning for next year, because next year they have Mauricio coming back.
Yes, Acuna.
And
Acuna has 43 stolen bases, by the way.
They'll probably bring up Acuna up next year.
Of course they do.
I think they have a starting pitcher in the minors that's doing pretty well that might come up next year.
I forgot his name, but they do. But then they also have Christian Scott there, you know. I think he has potential. Yes. He just needs to, like, figure out the breaking stuff, because he throws too hard, right? And they end up adjusting to it, and then forget about it. He loses because they're going to start smacking it. But he needs a breaking pitch. He needs to, like, switch up speeds, and I think he's going to be a great asset. You know, what Peterson's doing, oh, my God, I love it. You know, I think that we have a shot. I think we should give Severino another shot and figure it out from there, you know, and Senga's coming back next year. So, you know, there's options, and, you know, with having a lot of money, you know, we can always fix the situation if it doesn't work out at first, you know? So we'll see what happens. But, man, I'm excited right now. I'll tell you that.
No, you definitely should be. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot more exciting as a baseball fan when the teams that are not expected to make it, because, you know, you're playing that, you know, I'm going to prove everybody wrong game. And it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a little, for the Orioles, yeah, it's fun. We're going to be in the playoffs. But people know we're already coming. So it's not as exciting as it was in 2022 or 23 when we made the playoffs.
When we saw the spark.
Yeah. So that's what you're trying to get, or you're experiencing now, the spark.
No. But I'm not there. You know, I don't feel that way, though. You know why? Because we just finished talking about that. Next year, the team that I'm looking at right now is going to be so completely different from what I'm looking at now. Next year is going to be a completely different team. So it's like one of those stories where it's like, you know, this is going to be a one-shot deal. We're going to film it. If we make mistakes, we're just going to have to work with it. And hopefully this movie sells, right? It's one of those movies that you know you're never going to get a sequel to. And this is why it's exciting, because, you know, I like the chemistry on the team. And the funny thing is that we're never going to be able to see that exact same chemistry all over again because of the situation. You know, the one-year deals, you know? So it's a different way of looking at it. And, you know, you have an amazing foundation and you have an amazing team right now, and these guys are gonna be around and they're gonna be together for a long time. So this is why I always say to you, once Baltimore starts winning these rings, it's gonna be really hard to take them down, all right? Because they're gonna have experience, right? And they're just gonna get better together, and you're going to be a serious problem in the American League, all right? Because once you start throwing rings on, you're going to want a fistful of them. And I see that happening. So the World Series goes through, you know, on the National League side, it goes through L.A. And then after that, it goes through the Orioles, all right? So you already know that if you want to win a championship ring, you have to go through the Dodgers and you have to go through the Orioles. That's how it's going to be for the next 5 years. I definitely believe that. Those are the two teams that you're going to have to worry about. All right. And don't let those deferred contracts, you know, they're going to come for you this offseason. When the Dodgers offer Mr. Soto $12 billion on deferred, and end up having him in right field, then I don't know. Tell me what you think about that.
It's going to be more like $60 million a year. I don't know where he got 12 from. Trust me.
Listen, I was being sarcastic.
You never do your math, but.
I was being sarcastic, but. Yeah. You understand exactly what I'm talking about. All right. Well, these guys say, yeah, we don't have any money, but we're going to talk to you anyway. You know what I'm saying? And when they do that, right, and they're like, yeah, you know, we got Ohtani over here. You saw what he just did last year, you know, and then, you know, we have Freeman on first. You see that little short black guy?
Mookie Betts.
Okay, I just wanted to, and then you see
Max Muncy.
You know, Yamamoto right over there next to Ohtani. They're having a conversation about what they're going to eat for lunch today. If you want to join them, sure, why not? By all means. So, yeah, when you have that, right, I mean, why would you say no to that, right? And all the money on top of that, too. You know, why would you say no to that? He just finished playing for the Yankees. Yeah, he got to play with Judge. But he looked around and he said, you know what? This team is cool, but this team isn't, like, really ready to win. And if the Dodgers offer him anything with, you know, the cast that they have, forget about it. Soto's going to be wearing that beautiful jersey out there on the West Coast.
Dodger blue.
And if you don't agree with what I've just finished saying, Lashley, then I don't know. I'm just messing with you. You don't have to agree with me. But what do you think about what I just said? What do you think about that?
Oh, Dodgers are definitely in contention for getting him. They don't care that they're going to go over the threshold, because their goal is to win a chip. So if you go over a threshold and you got to pay these guys – when they're washed up, they don't care, because if they can win at least 2 to 3 rings with those guys,
yeah,
exactly. It's well worth it. So go hard or go home, and I think that's the Dodgers' mindset. The problem is the Mets and the Yankees are going to be in the way, because the Mets are out of all the teams that are going to want him the most, I think it's going to be the Mets, because they need him more than the Yankees. Yankees have a big name bat. The Mets don't.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right about that. And you know what? After losing Alonso, right, if that's going to happen, I think that what's going to happen is now we have Stearns there, and Stearns can kind of like see better what, because he's looking straight at them and he's looking at the situation. And we see that Alonso isn't exactly what it is that we need to win a championship, I think we can definitely do without. I understand that he's hit the most home runs ever since he's been in the league than anybody else in the whole league, right? Even Judge and Otani and all these guys, all right? I understand that, he's definitely going to hit 30, 40 a year. But he hits them in spots where it doesn't really matter, Yeah, I'm okay with losing Alonso. But if we lose Alonso and we're losing 30 home runs, then I want somebody else that's going to be able to produce those 30 home runs, though. I don't want it to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring Billy up from the minors and we're going to see what he can do. Just because, he put up great numbers in the minors doesn't mean that he's going to be, a true 30 guy, So that's all I'm saying. If we're going to lose those 30 home runs, then I want to see another 30 come back,
No, definitely.
But yeah, that's what I'm looking at, So I want to talk about how, Atlanta's doing, because Atlanta's the problem right now. So Atlanta in the month of August, right prior to starting the last month of baseball, now in September, Atlanta went 16 out of 29. What do you think about that? It's mediocre, right? It's like you're 1/500, right? That's pretty much what that is, right? Yeah, that's what it is.
16 out of 29 games, that's 50% winning.
Exactly.
So it's a little under 500. But they're another problem. They don't have a closing pitch. They don't have an ace. And they don't have a closer. And then the other problem is their offense is not producing.
No, but
the biggest producer on this, they
did that. You're saying that, right? But it's funny, right? Out of those, they played 500. But look what they did, though. It's kind of weird, right? Because they ended up, right? So they, of course, they were able to beat the bottom feeders. You're supposed to do that, right? But Atlanta's having problems, like you said, right? So they have injuries. But they were able to beat the Angels. They were able to beat the Nationals. And the Nationals are a tough out, I've been watching a lot of Nationals baseball because, we played them recently. And, I have a young ball club, and then I can see a bright future for those guys. Don't you think so? They have good pitching, too,
No, they definitely have good pitching.
They have good pitching now. And then, so they were able to beat those guys, right? And, they were able to beat Minnesota and the Phillies, all right? So, they won when they was, when they were supposed to, and they were a tough out against teams that are in contention, right? So you say to yourself, all right, this is why they're still in it. Even though they have a lot of problems and they're trying to stay afloat, And it makes them look like the underdog that they shouldn't be. But I like the look. Because it shows you how good of a ball club they have. I like them. I don't hate the Braves. Let me tell you, I don't hate the Braves.
No, I don't hate them. I just don't see where their run production is going to come. Marcelo Zuna has been him, and Darnold has been the biggest productions.
I know, but Austin,
Austin has had a down year.
Yeah,
Riley's doing okay. He's had a down year. Albies has been in and out of the lineup. He's been hurt. Harris has been doing okay, but he just came back from injury. Kalenic, in my opinion, has been awful this year with us. He's done nothing this year. At least he didn't live up to the numbers that he had when he was in Seattle last year. So So, and then, like I say, you lost Acuna, and then his replacements were, I can't think of his name currently, Duvall. He's been okay, but he's not Acuna. He's okay in the outfield, but the problem is they're just not scoring as runs as they need to. So, who knows? Things might change. You know, Rodrigo Lopez, he's been okay as a starter for them. He just came back from injury. Was it Charlie Morton is still there? He's our Chris Sale has been the pretty bright spot.
Favorite,
he's been the biggest improvement. If there was such thing as
game one, that's a game one type guy right there for sure.
Yeah, well, I think Charlie Morton would be your game one, game two would be Chris Sale. Yeah, definitely. You know, remember, they're more loyal to Morton than they are to Sale. Sale's a Sale is either 1 or 2 year rental. I forgot what it was. I think he's a 1 year rental. So, and he is in the end of the career. But with them losing Strider this year, Charlie Morton has been okay. But he's had a rough year, too. So, in my opinion, I would go Morton, Sale, and then Rodrigo Lopez if I had to do a three game series for the wild card, because that's the way it's looking right now. So, with that being said, that's how I would put out my starting rotation for those three game series. And then, like I said, hope that you win the games when Sale and Morton are pitching. Rodrigo Lopez has been good. He's been a great surprise, but lately he has not been. I know he was hurt. He just came back. But I don't know. It's so funny. All the teams have similar problems. They either have pitching issues or they have lack of offense production. And for Baltimore, it's kind of been both because, yeah, none of their major players are hurt as far as offensively goes. They're just not producing with runners in scoring position. It's just that's why they lost today. You know, it's just like frustrating, but it's what it is. I'm kind of glad that that's happening now and not later because now they can figure it out. Every team hits a slump. It's about when do you hit that slump? Do you hit it in the beginning? Do you hit it in the middle? Like, for example, the Mets, they had their slump in the beginning of the season. Now they got together. Now you're hoping and praying they don't hit another slump. And if they do, you better hope it happens now and not later. So Baltimore, now they're slumping now. So they might stumble into the gate. Who knows? But it might propel them to, you know, wake up. Maybe the bats get hot at the right time. Same thing with the Braves and the Yankees. The Yankees had they started off well. This is why it's important to have a good start in baseball, because when the decline does occur and your team, you know, struggles for a little while, you're not going to lose a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And that's why the Yankees are still in the playoffs, and that's why the Braves are still in the playoffs, because they built such a great cushion in the first half that they can get away with stumbling. If it was somebody else, you know, if that was like the, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates, look at the Pirates. They started,
they had a shot.
They stumbled, but for them, they're not going to be able to rebound. It's just
they're
too young. They're not an experienced team, so they're not going to make it. You know, look, the same thing with San Diego. They started off well, then they slumped. No, they started out terrible. I take that back. I think they went to the All-Star break under 500, but now they got hot. So it's all about, you know, first half of the season, it is good to get to a good start, yes, but it's not the end of the world if you start off badly. That's the one thing I like about baseball. You can start off horribly and make yourself come back. You know, I'm sure you in the beginning of the season, you're like, there's no way the Mets are making the playoffs. They're awful. There are 7 games under 500. Lindor is doing nothing. He's just been, you know, struggling and struggling. And, you know, Alonso's been Alonso, struggling and struggling.
Yes.
And you're not getting, you know, Iglesias of the world didn't exist. You know, the Winkers of the world didn't exist yet. And all these guys didn't exist. And you're like, well, you know, you had Beatty. He's awful. He wasn't doing anything. And Alvarez, he's been consistent, but he just got hot recently. And he wasn't doing well in the beginning.
But the thing about that guy is, all right, so it was like back in the day when we had, what was his name? Wilson Ramos, right? He's an amazing bat, right? But defensively as a catcher, he's trash, right? So a lot of the staff in the rotation didn't want him to catch the games, right? So now we have Alvarez, and you have to understand that when Alvarez was hurt, we were hurt. We weren't playing well. We weren't pitching well. wasn't doing any of those things well, you know. But Alvarez came back and he sparked the lineup a little, you know. He's still learning. But defensively, as a catcher, all right, he doesn't peg a lot of the guys, you know, trying to steal bases, but he knows how to catch the rotation. All right. And this is why, you know, this rotation has been able to excel because of Alvarez. Yeah. And I want people to understand that. Like, this young kid knows how to catch a game. All right. And this, and he's the difference maker, believe it or not. This is how I feel. This is what I get from watching these games. But that's just my opinion. All right. So we're going to talk about the gunslinger of, you know, this last week and a half, right? So Mr. Bowden Francis, who plays for the Toronto Blue Jays on the 24th versus the LA Angels, right, went 8 innings, got 1 hit, right, 1 earned run, and 12 strikeouts. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
No, that's pretty impressive for a team that's completely rebuilding and has sold off everybody besides Vladimir Guerrero. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That shows that, you know, they have promise, you know. Especially really good for those season ticket holders that had to pay a little earlier than, you know, the rest of the years they've been season ticket holders. Because, you know, we had that podcast the other day when we talked about how they were forcing the season ticket holders to put up money prior to the trade deadline, not knowing what they were going to have to work with, you know. But the hitter of the week is Saya Suzuki, right? He plays for the Cubs. And versus Miami on the 24th as well, which is funny. He went 3 for 5, 2 home runs, a triple, a walk, 4 RBIs. Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's another rookie that came over from Japan this past offseason. So all these guys that came from Japan, they've been doing really well. So Japan might be the new market for ball players, you know. Besides the DR.
Besides the DR, exactly.
Now, or all these South American teams, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Cuba, Venezuela, Colombia.
The Ukraine.
Yeah, Ukraine. They're throwing grenades right now over there right now, not baseballs.
They're not throwing baseballs.
But, yeah, so it's, I don't know, man. I'll be more comfortable once our teams get in the playoffs. Then you can breathe a little bit and you can say, okay, it's a fresh start.
You know what's funny, man? So, like, I'm going to come see you, right, in Atlanta in a couple of weeks, right? The season will be officially over, right? But I'll be there the night before the wild card situation, right? And the funny thing is that, you know, I'm like, all right, so I'm going to Atlanta, and I'll, you know, I'll wear a Braves jersey and, you know, getting good with the people out there, have a fun time, right? And now it's like, oh, man, if the Mets make the playoffs, then Atlanta's not making the playoffs. And it's come down to that. Unless San Diego and Arizona have a really, really tough 2 weeks, right? And Atlanta ends up taking like the second slot and we slide into the third or vice versa or anything like that, then, you know, I'm going to be in Atlanta and the Braves will be either in it or out of it. How crazy is that, right? So I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. But, you know, we'll try to sneak in a couple of games, you know, whether it's at a bar or whatever. You know what? You never know. You know, we can probably find tickets to, you know, one of those wild card games if Atlanta ends up in it, you know? Like, how much is, you know, you never know. We might get a deal out there somewhere. There's a deal waiting for us. We never know.
But, yeah, that'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. But I'm sure those tickets would be expensive.
Oh, yeah.
During the 21 run season for the Braves, I didn't even attempt to go to the games because they're just so damn expensive. And I just had fun just going to the local bars at the Battery and meeting up with people and cheering. So I think that'll be more fun too because, you know.
Well, you can hear the crowd, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It's one of those things, you know. Like you can hear the crowd from outside and you're literally right next to the stadium, you know. Like it's a, I love that place. It's a great place to be. I hope that, you know, City Field in that little area can turn into something like that because that would be really nice. You know, like, yeah, I couldn't get into the game, but the bar's right there, right next to the stadium. And then, like, when, you know, they produce runs, you can not only hear that crowd, you know, like, you feel that crowd, and you're like, you feel like you're in the stadium, you know? You're watching it on the television, but you can feel the energy from the crowd at the game, which is pretty awesome. I don't know. But are you ready for this trivia question, son?
Yeah, go ahead. Shoot away. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, you gotta figure this one out. Let's see what you got, brother. So here we go. The record for the most consecutive scoreless innings by a pitcher. All right. That's what I gotta say to you. Who holds the record for that? You know what's crazy? This is one of my favorite pitchers growing up as a kid, so
so growing up, that you just give me a good clue, a hint. So okay. This guy was probably pitching in his he was probably pitching in the '70s as far as years go. Seventies or eighties. Eighties and nineties.
Oh, there you go.
So that we're looking at eighties and the nineties. I would say closer to nineties and eighties, correct?
All right, yeah, you can say that. You can definitely say that.
All right. I'm going to say, since he was one of your favorites, he's probably an NL pitcher, so we'll go with the NL.
Wow. All right.
All right. One of your – so a couple of guys come to mind. I'm just going to list off. They're Braves guys, but I could be wrong. My first one would be Greg Smoltz.
Well, I love that guy, all right? He was a scary pitcher, and I like that about him, you know? So – listen, you're going to mention a whole bunch of Braves pitchers, and I'm going to tell you right now that you need to go a little bit more to the left on the map. And on top of that...
So, West Coast teams. Okay. So, So, he either had to play for the Dodgers, the Padres, or the Rockies.
Okay. So you know what? I'm gonna give it to you. So you said 80s, 90s, more towards the 90s, 100% right, because that was 1988. This is when this guy pitched, right?
So I was a year old. I don't even know this guy because I was a year old.
No, you know his guy, right? You know this guy, right? Not only that, right? So then you said
Nolan Ryan.
No, it's not Nolan Ryan.
Oh.
And then you said, I said, go a little left of the map, so you understood that. You went and you said Dodgers. Yes, it was the Dodgers. All right. So now, talking about late 80s, early 90s, Dodgers, an amazing pitcher. And he was one of my favorites growing up. Definitely was, you know.
He was Rusty Staubs. I don't know. I'm just making
the
names.
No, it was
Orville
Hershiser.
Hershiser.
You see? I told you knew.
Wow. All
right. So now.
I forgot he pitched in the 80s.
So check this out. How many games did he go consecutive? Scoreless innings. That's crazy, right?
In a season or in his career? Season,
yeah, in 88.
So let's just say average, nowadays average starter makes, 20 starts? Depends. So back then, it was probably less starts. So I'm going to go with 8 games.
Consecutive innings without scoreless innings?
Oh, consecutive innings?
Consecutive scoreless innings.
So let's just say, all right, hold on. I got to do the math because I got to break it down. 7, 14, 21, 28, because the average pitcher pitched about 7 innings back then compared to now. So 7, 14, 21, 28, 30. I'll go with 36.
Wow.
Consecutive innings.
Way more than that.
Over 56?
Yes.
64?
Nope. 59. You went over, so I'm gonna give it to you.
59.
59.
I said 50. Whatever.
Can you imagine though, still though? But can you imagine though? So you go up there, you get on the mound, right? And you go,
man, you have no chance.
Yeah, you have no chance against this guy. Yo, it's like, all right, like, forget about it. Like, you're not gonna hit this guy, all right? You have no chance. This is the number one guy in any situation. Playoff series, top of the rotation guy. He's just the guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not scoring against this guy, all right? This is what's happening to your team. I don't care how good your team is. You're not scoring against this guy. That's what I'm talking about. Pretty crazy.
You're better off hoping that he walks you.
Yeah.
But even then, if he walks you, the other guys don't get on, then what does it matter?
Doesn't matter. Even if he walks you, right? And if you don't score, that's a scoreless inning, bro. 59 times.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a scoreless inning.
So, yeah, you could get on base.
Yeah, you can have bases loaded. Doesn't mean anything.
Your chances are slim to none, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, right?
Ouch. But
yeah, we're coming to the end of the show, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
But, oh, that was great. We did a great job. Thank you.
Oh, man. Wow. I know we did a great job, too. I didn't want to say that. Yeah, we did a good job. All right, suckers. Have a good night. The Mets just finished double sweeping.
Congratulations. And
thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And just lost to, you know, one of the teams that we swept. But that's okay, though, because you still win the series, and you guys are still in it. Definitely making a playoff no matter what happens. So have a good night. See you next week.
Later, bro. Peace. See you next week.